welcome to our blessing, Christ blessing, on this beautiful day of November 4th. And I'm so glad to see all the numbers are here, that you did change your clock and you got my email to remember to dial in at the appropriate new time in your part of the world. I was not able to figure out Hawaii time in the short moment I had to get that letter out. So if anyone's calling from Hawaii, send me an email and let me know what time it is there, because I thought it was better to send no time than a wrong time. And if you are from any other time zone in the world and would like to share your time zone, I'll be very happy to post it on our board. It's just that I can't figure out all of them or anticipate what zone different people will be calling from. As you can tell from your pre-blessing conversations, we're coming literally from all over the world. And that, isn't that wonderful? I am just so thrilled. What technology makes possible now is just absolutely amazing. And for any of you who have not checked in with our Christ Blessing group on Facebook, that's another way of staying connected with people. I know some people are really into Facebook and others are not, but it is a possibility. And, of course, our blessing givers have their own private group site where they can exchange blog communications and calendars and telephone numbers or whatever they want to exchange with one another. So that's one of the little perks of being a blessing giver, because we do a lot of things to help solidify our community. And right off the bat, I want to thank our blessing givers for showing so much initiative during this recent hurricane and in relation to other world events, too, to just connect with or without me to offer a blessing. And our connection facilities allow that to happen. So they're doing it more and more often, showing more initiative, and it's just wonderful. This is one of the things we want to accelerate in our blessing seminar, which, by the way, is 2 weeks from today. Actually, it starts 2 weeks from yesterday. So I'm looking forward to welcoming our new blessing givers here in Sedona. You must be excited, and I know I am. Every day is some new preparation, getting ready for the event. And it's going to be more fabulous than ever. Actually, we have, for those who are coming, just because, you know, we have a number of blessing givers returning just because they have found the community and the connection to be as valuable as the tool itself. Because it's kind of like Yeshua said in the Gospels, when two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. And what we have all found is that when we offer the blessing in unison, it's not just multiplied by the number of people, but to the square root. It really literally takes on a whole new dimension, a whole new paradigm of energy and possibility for conveying energy that is so much more than we can wrap our minds around or even our lives around. And it fills us, it moves us, and it expands our being. So it's really wonderful, and we're going to expand on the community concept a great deal more with our senior blessing givers helping to coach and bring along our new blessing givers that are coming in November. So this is my expression of anticipation and gratitude. And also, I did want to mention that because of the hurricane and the challenging weather conditions that caused, a little bit of a setback a serious setback for some people, a little bit of a setback for many, and a little retrenchment of plans for a lot of people on the East Coast. A lot of people who were wanting to come but didn't have a plan solidified. We have worked with the hotel, and we have extended the deadline to the 12th of November. Now, that's only 5 days longer, and the 12th of November, let me check on my calendar here, is, drum roll, it is a week from this coming Monday. So as of tomorrow, you will have 1 week, and so they will hold rooms through the 12th. And as of the 12th, we really couldn't enroll anyone after that anyway, because our planning is so number specific, down to the chairs we have in the room, the meals we plan, the handouts we create, everything is so number specific that after the 12th, we really couldn't plan for anyone coming in. But you do have that much longer to consider this, and I really, really encourage you to, because we're living in a time, and I think this is one of the things I want to say that benefits everyone, not just those who are blessing givers or want to be, but those who are blessing receivers and will receive today and weeks from now and are benefiting by this. I want to talk about the truthfulness of our body. There are many people who say our body just doesn't lie. And it's based on that premise that a lot of people actually specialize in muscle testing and other forms of intuitive diagnosis and physical therapy to get to the underlying cause of other annoying problems we have, because our mind has a way of telling us what it believes, and its beliefs are not always based on what I would call really hardcore reality. Sometimes our beliefs are based more on experience than they are on truth. Our beliefs are formed around what we experienced. We, let's say, as a child, we fell down a lot. We didn't learn to walk very early, and then after we learned to walk, we didn't learn to run very well very early. We stumbled a lot. And we formed the belief that we're just not athletic. Well, that may not actually contain a bit of truth in the world. It's just a belief that was formed on experience. And that experience might have come from the fact that our neurological system was not developing as fast, or our muscle system was not developing as fast as other systems of our body when we were, let's say, between the age of 2 and 5. You know, not every system of our body grows at the same pace. And we could form a lot of beliefs about ourselves that really have nothing to do with our future. It was just the experience, the way we had it. And somebody comes along later, let's say we're wanting to learn to be a swimmer, we're a teenager, we're wanting to try out for track, and we're wondering, I wonder if I could do this, or if I'll just be a klutz on the field. And someone in our family understands muscle testing. They test us, and they say, you are a perfectly coordinated person. You just have to get over your inhibitions. You get over the inhibitions, and you become a track star. This is really true. This kind of thing has happened time and time again for athletes getting over various beliefs, inhibitions, or conditioning factors that had a negative effect on their performance. A good coach, a good physical therapist, or let's say someone doing muscle testing or other types of physical intuitive diagnosis could read beyond that, because they're talking to the body, and the body doesn't lie. the body will tell you exactly what it needs, what it can do, how it can perform. Now, where am I going? I'm obviously not taking you out to the field and saying, okay, now you can run. Here's what it is. The blessing comes is energy. And the fact is, we are all energy on every level. Energy makes up our entire constitution. And we draw our energy from really three principal sources. One is the earth, and the earth provides us energy in several interesting ways. One is the electromagnetic energy that we draw up literally from our feet through our bodies. The other, of course, is water and food and other forms of thermal energy that we gain from the earth. Then we gain energy from the sun and the cosmos. And that is a different frequency of energy that affects our whole constitution, our whole body, but we tend to receive it just as we pull up from the earth. We tend to pull down from the cosmos, from the solar system, the moon, the sun, and the cosmic influence that is providing many, many levels of energy to our body. We pull it down through our head, into our body, and then down to our feet. And it crosses, actually it weaves its way through an upward spiraling energy from the earth that we have absorbed in many different ways, moving energy up from the earth. The third principal form of energy is the energy of consciousness. Have you ever noticed that on days when you feel kind of dull, you're lacking energy in your whole constitution? Not just mental energy, but your whole constitution. You just don't feel like walking. Probably don't even feel like getting out of bed. It's just a dull feeling. You even worry about how safe a driver you are. Well, consciousness exists on many levels, just as earth energy exists on many levels. And the mind is only a recipient. It doesn't generate any energy whatsoever. Actually, the mind is one of your biggest consumers of energy. Now, this is not just intuitive speculation on my part. This is known by people who have done the highest level scientific research of mental facility, mental performance. It is one of the highest caloric consumers as well as oxygen consumers. Every form of energy you can provide it, it is your single highest energy consumer. It might surprise you if you think about what the amount of energy it would take to walk a mile. Nothing compared to what your mind consumes. As a matter of fact, one of the therapeutic benefits of going out to walk a mile is your mind has to virtually shut down because you can't provide it with enough energy to be at peak performance. So it shuts down and lets your body take over. And have you ever noticed when your body takes over, some of the thoughts and inspirations you have are of a much purer variety. They're not all filled with conclusions and attitudes and belief systems and agendas and a lot of the worry factor and the thinky-think that goes on with our mind. We have to let go of that in order to provide our body with the energy it needs to do physical performance. A lot of people are literally addicted to it. Maybe the word addiction is not a good one to use because it carries connotations of something negative. And really, it's a very, very positive thing to transfer your energy into physical performance. And also, it tends to generate endorphins, which then lift us up to a higher level of consciousness. See, one of the reasons we don't get up to higher level of con- levels of consciousness is our brain is consuming so much energy. We don't have enough left to get to the higher levels. And this is one of the values, the great values of meditation. We relax our mind, and we allow our energy to float into the higher realms of consciousness. Now, what we do in the blessing is we bring energy down from the higher levels of consciousness. We park our brain over on a park bench because it will consume. It way consumes everything, all your energy, to the point you're exhausted. You can be worn out at the end of the day from a desk job work. Okay, now we draw energy up from the earth, and we draw energy from the cosmos, and together, this is a whole new blend of energy that enlivens us and provides our body with the resources it needs. Now, your body knows where to take this energy and what to do with it. Your body knows. Actually, I hate to tell you, but your mind rarely knows, because your mind is, for the most part, tied up in analyzing experiences, which may be way too limited to give you the whole picture in the first place. It's often tied up in creating problems to solve the problem, to make itself important, and consuming all your energy in the process of doing so. Why do you think we go on vacations? We really don't go on vacations to relax. We go on vacations to re-energize. And what we're trying to relax when we're on vacation is this doggone thing we call a mind. But it's really not. It's your brain. Your brain is only the tip of the iceberg of your mind. Your mind is huge. It is the whole field of consciousness with which you connect to God, the earth, the cosmos, and all of information and intuitional possibility. Now, here's another place where the blessing is very important. See, it brings the energy in without judgment, without limitation, without agenda, without prejudice or preconception as to where it will go or how it's needed. We simply pray, relax, accept, and assimilate. Now, this is what blessing givers learn to do, and that is to be the antennae for that kind of conveyance. And it is amazing the transformational effect that happens to anyone's life, not to mention healing and enlightenment. When you move into a place of your inner centering that can receive the energy of the universe in its purest form and convey it without judgment, without limitation, and without misconception of what you're doing. Now, we have some great religions on the planet. I happen to favor Christianity. This is the religion I was born into, and because I love Yeshua and I treasure his teachings, I am principally and primarily Christian. It doesn't mean I don't also respect the great universal truth that can be found in other religions. But I've noticed in all of them, Christianity included, where too much doctrine has been inserted, where our beliefs have been analyzed and written down and cataloged by the mind, we begin to find these icky judgments that really don't serve anyone, and they tend to inhibit illumination, they tend to prevent us from connecting directly with God by implying that some intermediary is necessary. They tend to allow us to go to the Holy Scripture, whatever it might be for you, and read that trying to figure out what someone 2,000 or 3,000 years ago meant in a completely tribal context when he uttered certain words that don't make sense today. Yet we try to figure it out with our mind, and we try to apply it with our mind, and our mind can't possibly figure it out. Personally, I got pretty tired of that. By the time I was a teenager, I was thinking, dear, in those days I called him Jesus. Dear Jesus, you know how much I love you. You're my teacher. You're my spiritual inspiration. But do I have to believe everything that I've been taught in Sunday school? Some of this seems so limiting. Isn't this world really a bigger place? And when I would think those thoughts, here's what would happen. I would get chill bumps. Of course, I call them God bumps now. But I used to call them chill bumps. Some people call them spirit bumps. And what it was is it was my body responding to the presence of the Holy Spirit, one saying, yes, I want to speak with you directly. Between the Holy Spirit, who speaks only innocent and holy truth, and your body that can speak no lie, that can tell no lie, you have a direct connection to God. And this is what Yeshua meant when he said, I will leave with you the great counselor that will come to you directly. And when the counselor, the Holy Spirit, descended upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Counselor, the Holy Spirit, did not come as a person speaking words that registered to the mind and saying, now believe this, this is the doctrine you will follow, and yes, this is what I will teach you. The Spirit descended upon them almost like a flame of energy, a wind that poured upon them. The body felt it, and the body was filled, and they were transformed. It was the infilling of cosmic, holy, spiritual consciousness energy that lifted them to a higher place and at the same time anchored them so directly upon the earth. They became channels for the Holy Spirit. They became this antenna that was so cleared of all of its gobbledygook, of all of its misconceptions, that they literally could speak every language of the earth. And they were fitted then to go out to every nation and every part of the world and teach the messages of Yeshua. And this was a spiritual, physical transformation that had nothing to do with the brain, mind, thinking, mind aspect of our being. And really, doctrine was so insignificant to the apostles that within the first 400 years of it expanding all over the Mediterranean world and all the way into India and Africa and Europe, doctrine was so insignificant that there were hundreds and hundreds of little micro belief systems. Everywhere you would go, Christianity had adapted to the local culture, which is as Yeshua intended. And it was so micro-adapted everywhere. When the Roman Empire wanted to legalize Christianity and take it for its national religion, its bribe laid upon a certain number of bishops was, you've got to create a conformity of religion. We will legalize this and we will stop persecuting Christians, but you've got to create a conformity of belief for us to do that, because we cannot manage a religion that is not conformed. At that moment, it became the doctrinal legalized church that you see present in the church, that in the world today, and some of you agree with, some of you don't. Fortunately, most of Yeshua's universal teaching and truth survived, because his universal teaching and truth is so valid, so powerful, so transcendent. And the physical church has had its value to the building of community. So we bless it, we honor it, and we bless each one of you for having your roots in whatever faith you have come from to this moment, whether it be Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or Sufi or so many religions. I become tongue-tied trying to sort out all the many, many numbers, and that's not the point. The point is that all of them at some point became very doctrinal, and yet all of them contain universal truth. And I think the important thing is to focus upon the universal truth, and we're more likely to do that when we meditate, when we pray, and when we allow our body to physically respond to the communications of the Holy Spirit coming upon us without agenda. And that is, I've never really found a more universal language than the language of blessing. It is something that it cuts through the limitations of all religions. It relates to all people in all times, in all places. Animals love it. Birds love it. Insects love it. The earth loves it. I've blessed trees. I have blessed fruit, and it was on the point of becoming overripe, and it lasted for 2 days longer. It's really amazing the universality that the blessing has brought to all forms of life. The blessing can bring more energy to us. It brings more energy, access to many layers of energy that are really unavailable to you unless you have a more neutral conduit that allows you to arrive at that connection without the brain stealing it all. This is the thing, is the brain steals most of our energy. That's a fact. You could talk to an atheist and they'll tell you that. You can go into the most advanced scientific lab studying the brain. They'll tell you that. You could visit a neurosurgeon. They'll tell you that. You could visit a shaman. They'll tell you that. Anyone who has ever studied in depth the brain's relationship to our life and body will tell you the brain steals about 85% of your daily energy. So, there's something to learn from that. There's something to learn about arriving at a higher connection of consciousness that can bring more energy down to enliven our lives and give us more free energy. There is free energy. We are not limited to the field of conservation. But we need to, it's almost like if I were going to use a really, really crude, no pun intended, a crude analogy, drilling for crude oil at a very deep, deep level. We first got to cut through crust and crust and crust of earth. And we've got to get past the resistance and we've got to get past the salt water and past all of the impediments to getting down to where we really get to the goods. And so we've got to have a strong diamond drill. If we're going to reach the cosmos, we've got to have a rocket ship that's got a good breakaway mechanism that can thrust us into higher places beyond the stratosphere so that we're in free space. There are these consuming energies around, just above the Earth, just below the Earth, and on the Earth. And these consuming energies are filled with problems that create an excessive importance for our brain mind. And it justifies then taking most of our energy for the solving of those problems. So now, what I would really like for you to do is relax. Put your brain mind over on the park bench. Let's don't talk anymore about things that it will try to master or fix, because it actually can't fix anything. It can manage really well, but it can't fix. I hope you figured that out by now. So let's be relaxed. Remove your shoes and socks. Have your be seated with the top of your head facing toward the cosmos, your feet on the ground. And now just allow your attention to drop into your heart. It doesn't matter how you see the heart, how you feel it, whether you focus upon your physical heart. Your physical heart itself is very wise, very full of life, very full of understanding and compassion. And in the vicinity of your physical heart is an even greater spiritual heart. Just be there. Allow your attention to fall. And just be naturally in that space without limiting your explanation of, is it this, is it that? Just be there, relaxed, accepting as a child would be. And embrace the presence of Yeshua, for that is where you will find him, in your being, standing with you as you walk through life. Feel your feet on the earth and the strong, comforting energy that you pull up from our mother presence. Feel it like gravity that centers you in time and space. And at the top of your head, feel almost like a great funnel spreading out all the way around and reaching out to the cosmos, filling and infilling your body with all levels of energy that we need. New, fresh, free energy that comes in like a breath of God, a breath of new supply. And in this state, simply be a receiver and be the child within who prays. Remember, God knows all of your needs. But when we, in prayer, express our desire, our vulnerability, and our needs, we are heard. And we are given the energy from which we can answer those prayers. I will pray to Yeshua. We will conduct the energy for 3 minutes, and then I would like you to go rest and assimilate for at least 7 minutes. Dear Yeshua, the one who is in us all, who cares nothing about our doctrines or our belief agendas or the color of our skin, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're young or old, or male or female, who cares nothing about our worldly problems, because there are greater mountains to climb than all of our issues, all of our problems, or all of our worldly goals. You know that they are all just exercises in discovering ourselves, of who we are, and the community around us. Thank you for being with us and reminding us of the greater scope of our life, which we find most fully when we are in our neutral place of just being the person that we are. Not to be childish, but like a child, in that our body, our heart, and our soul are just one with life, innocently engaging with life, receiving and assimilating, asking as we need, enjoying the things that are given, and being grateful for that which we receive. We thank you for especially blessing and helping those who have lost their hope, who have lost their faith, who are in such great need that they dare not even ask. We ask for a healing. We ask for them, that they may be comforted, that they may be carried into the place of their heart and renewed in their place of inner confidence. We ask for food for those who are hungry. We ask for help for those who are lost, who are needy, who are feeling abandoned. For we know that you are always with them. Thank you for being with us and helping us to receive all that we need. Amen. The energetic part of your blessing is complete. Now go, rest, assimilate, and just be with it. Take the energy into all parts of your being, body, heart, and soul. Know that you are loved and God is with you. I hope to see you again next week. Bye-bye for now.